As a serial expat, I've lived in 5 countries and have had the opportunity to experience a wide variety of cultures. I've learned so much about different ways of thinking, working, and living. But I've also learned a lot about myself. I'm used to adapting to new environments, which is an essential skill for any entrepreneur. But most importantly, I know how important it is to keep learning. And guys, I promise you, that is something that I will never stop doing. What's up, everyone? This is Jamilia, and you're listening to Barely Legal in Web3. On this podcast, we keep it real, and we explore everything that's happening in Web3 with a critical eye. I'll be talking to guests that are challenging traditional norms and making waves in this space. And as a Black woman at the intersection of law and technology, I know what that's like. So sit back, relax, and let's get Barely Legal. So many of you know I've spent most of my life traveling. My first trip outside of the US, I was a teenager, and it was just a family vacation to Aruba. I remember it was quite exciting for me at the time. But after that, I went on to teach English in China when I was in undergrad, and then I had another trip to Mexico. And then as a lawyer, I moved around a lot for work. And I took up different stints as an expat, you know, someone who moves to another country for a job opportunity. But, you know, I never really intend to stay there permanently. So being an expat has its challenges. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that at all in this episode. I've been lonely. I've felt homesick. I've felt like I don't fit in. I felt like, what the heck am I even doing here? Does this even make sense? And to be honest, I've had those feelings very recently. But it also gives me great life experiences. And all of those experiences have prepared me for being an entrepreneur. So I think, first off, I'll say that I'm not a risk-averse person. As someone that's a serial expat, I'm not afraid of taking risks. I've learned that if you don't try something new or different, you never know what could happen. My sister, she affectionately says, I have a cat writing reflex. And if you've ever seen a cat jump from a very high location or, you know, be scared and, you know, jump and or even be thrown or whatever is happening to the cat, they always end up on their feet. And I've actually studied this. They have this weird sort of innate sense of balance where they can twist their spine and rotate in a certain way because they're flexible. And they always end on their feet. And my sister swears up and down that I have that cat riding reflex. But being an entrepreneur is all about taking risks. You know, like, especially in the beginning when you're just getting started, you have no idea how well your product or your service will do, or if people will even buy it at all. And that's why being able to think outside of the box is so important when starting out on your own. It allows you to see opportunities where others might only see obstacles in their way. It gives you courage and confidence when you need it most. And in my opinion, I think it really helps overcome fear and doubt. Because, I mean, if anyone has had fear or doubt, it's been me. You guys may take a look at my story and like, oh, she's lived in a lot of different countries. She left corporate. She's out on her own in Dubai running this business. Wow, she must be so brave. No, I just do things while I'm afraid and while I have doubt. Those feelings never go away. But I have to say that being this close to risk and failing at times, it is good for you as an entrepreneur, because while you're an entrepreneur, you will fail. And you do have to take risks. And without that, you won't grow and your business won't grow as well. And I think, you know, particularly as a lawyer in Web3, it's a lot about taking risks. I mean, every single client call you have, there's probably a small voice in the back of all lawyers' minds like, is this the right client for me? Should I take, because there is a screening process, right? There's a logical process where you go through and you assess a client and you try to understand whether this is the right client for the services that you provide. Will you be able to help this person? And is this the right industry even that you should be working in? So that doesn't go away. And I really think there's a lot in common between being a serial expat, being an entrepreneur, and even being a lawyer in Web3. You know, it's funny. I talked about the cat writing reflex, but another skill that I learned in being an expat, serial expat, is to be flexible and adaptable. You've got to be flexible and adaptable. And, you know, in being an entrepreneur, that same skill comes in handy. I can tell you so many times when I first started out in China, when I was living and working there, that I stayed in hotels or I stayed in apartments where I was just like, I do not want to be here. This is not what I had in mind. It's not what I expected. The air con doesn't work, or the heat doesn't work, or, you know, something is just really off about this place. I remember one time I had a flight. I think it was from Shanghai to some other smaller city when I was working for Raytheon, and the flight was delayed. One of the connecting flights were delayed. And we waited, you know, me and all the other passengers, we waited for hours at the gate, at the terminal, and no word. People started to get upset. They started shouting. They started yelling. More hours passed, and we had absolutely no idea when our flight was coming. I think they announced a few times on the speaker, like, your flight will be here in an hour, two more hours, like every now and then they would just give us an update. But that update, unfortunately, never came true. So it got to be around like 8 p.m. at night. Finally, we got a notice from the announcer saying that we would have to take a bus to a nearby hotel. And it would be all expense paid. They were going to pay for our food. They were going to pay for our lodging. And in the morning, they would pick us up and they would bring us back to the airport and we would catch our flight. So I'm like, great. Wow, this is great. They're going to pick us up in a bus and we're going to go to a hotel. It's going to be free. We're going to have food. Let me tell you something. What I had in mind about where we were staying that night and how we would even get to the hotel was totally different than what actually happened. What happened was a large tour bus came to pick up passengers. We had no idea where this hotel was. I didn't know what the name of the hotel was, quite frankly. And there were two tour buses for like, you know, a few hundred people. So we were all crammed onto these tour buses. And, you know, people had been sitting in the airport all day. It was hot. It was stuffy. There was no air con. The trip from the airport to the hotel was like an hour. It was, you know, a lot of traffic. It was in the middle of nowhere once we got to the place. And when we arrived, we had to wait in lines. They had to give us numbers so we could collect our food. And mind you, we had all of our bags with us. We still had no idea where we were, what our rooms looked like or anything. But they gave us numbers and they gave us these airport meals. So they fed us the airport meals that they would have fed us on the flight. It wasn't a hotel meal at all. And it wasn't enough food either. So I'm like, okay, this is not what I had in mind, but you know, hey, I'm hungry. So, you know, what can you do? The next thing that happened was they proceeded to give us instructions about how they were going to divide the groups. So I was traveling alone. I don't think I traveled with any colleagues at that point. But I was grouped with other women who I've never met before in my life. And that's the first thing. And so you didn't get your own room. You had to share a room with like two or three other people. It wasn't just, you know, doubles. They really stacked people into rooms. And the hotel was so shady. It was so shady and just so, you know, definitely not a place I would stay. I remember I kept my boots, my entire outfit and my coat on the entire night. It was like, I probably slept with one eye open. It was like one of the worst nights ever. But at the end of the day, you know, we ate, I slept, caught the flight the next day, and that was that. But I mean, I guess the point of the story is I could have been one of those passengers that got, I mean, people got really upset. Some people were shouting and yelling and kind of like approaching the staff in a hostile way. You know, when bad things happen, you always have the choice about how you're going to react to it. And I think being an expat and even just traveling to different countries, even just, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone, you learn how to be flexible. You learn how to be adaptable. And that is definitely a skill that you can use in being an entrepreneur. Because let me tell you, ByteBao today is not at all what I thought it was going to be on day one. On day one, I was like, oh, I'm going to do data privacy because I have a lot of experience in data privacy work. And I thought I would just stick to that. But that is not at all what happened. And I'm so thankful that I was flexible and adaptable and listened to people and really tried to understand what are the needs of the market instead of just saying, no, I'm not doing that crazy Web3 stuff. I'm not doing that blockchain stuff. I'm just going to stick to the data and tech that I know. It would have been a totally different story if I had been inflexible. So, you know, if you have the chance to travel, and some of you are, you know, living in countries that you weren't born in, I'd say that as you move into the space of Web3 or as you move into a space of scaling your legal practice, just be flexible and be adaptable. It's definitely the way to go. And, you know, the market is changing. The market is changing and things will change as well. So you have to be flexible. I'd say another thing that moving around taught me is that life is too short to not really just live it urgently. I know Bazuma St. John has a book out called The Urgent Life, and that resonates with me so much. You know, I think part of my journey as an expat has been this difficult challenge that I still face today, which is saying no to things that are not in line with where you want to be, right? And I know for lawyers, this is so difficult for us because, you know, I mean, we like to get paid, right? Like different than any other profession. I mean, everyone likes to get paid, but I think lawyers particularly, we place a you know, we're taught about credentials and, you know, it's definitely comes with the profession is that we are focused on billables per se. When I first started practicing, you know, there was the billable hour requirement and you had to meet your minimum billables. And that was a huge part of firm life. And for me, it just didn't work. I didn't want to be, you know, tied into a clock that way. So I think, you know, that's another skill is, you know, life is too short and you really do need to kind of learn what you're going to say no to and realize that as you move along this journey, there are things that you'll do that are different that you should also enjoy. It may be more aligned to your journey to do something like join a mastermind and, you know, meet with other lawyers and learn in small group discussions and have those kinds of connections than it is to read regulations for hours and hours and kind of be on your own in that way. And so when you realize that life is too short and you need to kind of think out of the box and you need to say no to things that aren't aligned with what your ultimate end goal is, I think the journey becomes a lot more enjoyable. Now, I have an adventurous spirit and I really like to explore new things and places. And, you know, every time we come to a new country, my favorite thing to do is to just wake up in the morning and walk. Like walk as far as I can and just kind of explore the city by foot. Now, in some cities, you can do that. In China, most cities in China, that's very doable. It is very doable. Singapore, very doable. Serbia, not so much. Dubai, you better think twice, particularly in the summer. Do not try to do that. And so this adventurous spirit to kind of explore new things and places, it definitely makes it easier to take on new experiences like starting a company. And I think it goes back to that whole mindset of not being inflexible and not being rigid, but just looking to explore something new. Certainly, if you're listening to this podcast, you're looking to explore something new because Web3 is new. And, you know, us as lawyers, you know, being in this profession, it's new for us. And it's definitely off the chartered course because most lawyers, you know, we have our traditional practices. You have your employment law, you have your energy law, you have finance and restructuring, you've got your deals, mergers and acquisitions, you got, you know, just plain corporate, you have your medical malpractice. I mean, the list goes on and on. But until very recently, there's really no kind of focus on digital assets. I'm of the mindset that we really need to go back to law schools and say, hey, right next to your curriculum about real property, please put in a class or two about digital assets or virtual assets, because it's something new and students, law students particularly, need to explore these things and kind of stretch their feet and understand like what is different about it. And so if you have an adventurous spirit and if you like to explore new things, I really think being an entrepreneur is something that, you know, you'll enjoy. And like I said at the beginning, it comes with its challenges, just like being an expat. Both of them come with challenges. You will fail, but you'll learn and you'll grow. And that is the best part of it. You know, I'm reminded of when I was in Chengdu. I've lived in China for a while, and I went to Chengdu for a short trip, probably like a few days for a conference. And Chengdu is out west in China. It is far off the grid, not, you know, where most people go, which is Shanghai and Beijing on the eastern side. But Chengdu is towards the west. And it's so interesting because people in Chengdu speak a totally different dialect than the rest of China. And they hold true to it. They don't switch it for you if you get in the cab and you start speaking, you know, your regular Beijing Mandarin. No, they'll stick to it and you kind of have to adapt. But I think out of all of the cities that I've been in, Chengdu is my favorite one because it is so different than the rest of China. It is not just the spicy food and the bamboo and the panda bears and everything. It's just so authentic. And it hasn't changed as much as the rest of China has. And I say that to say that, you know, while everyone else is probably doing the same things, everyone else may be holding true to their traditional law firm models or their traditional ways of working with clients, it's time to explore new things. It's time to be entrepreneurial and take things to new places. And I really think that being a Web3 lawyer, for lack of better terms, and starting your own practice is definitely a way to do that. So in summary, I think if you're listening to this podcast and you're really on the fence about what you want to do next in your legal career, you know, the market is not looking good. We're all in sort of a recession globally. And I think it really is time to start looking critically at the way that we work and the way that we as lawyers serve clients. I'd say that particularly in Web3, working with clients is very much more so business focused. You do need your legal skills to be able to guide them on laws and regulations that pertain to what their questions are about. But I think there's a real need for some basic business knowledge in Web3. And I think as corporate lawyers who have worked in the business setting, that's really helpful. So if you're looking for adventure, this is the place. If you're looking to, you know, show off the skills that you've been flexible and adaptable and that you're entrepreneurial, I think that being a Web3 lawyer definitely gives you that. But I think you should go into it with a bit of appetite for risk. You know, you have to expect that bad things will happen in the market. We saw last year there were, you know, bankruptcies and scams and frauds, and there will be continuous, you know, investigations and enforcements especially in the U.S., with the Securities and Exchange Commission. So it's not a place that is risk-free. You do have to stay up to speed with everything. But one of the things that I really like with the work with ByteBow is our community, and especially our mastermind, which you guys may have heard me talk about it in previous episodes as a boot camp. But after the last one, I'm convinced that we are definitely operating at a mastermind level. We have people coming in that are, you know, from top four consulting companies, risk and compliance professionals, energy restructuring lawyers, entertainment lawyers, lawyers with antitrust, all of these different diverse practice areas all coming together to give their input on basically how the law is being applied and how we can craft more creative solutions for clients. And it has showed me that the legal profession really doesn't like to collaborate with each other. I mean, think about it. How many times have you called one of your lawyer friends and said, hey, you have an hour to spend with me? I just want to bounce some ideas off of you about how I'm going to work with a particular client. I have some ideas about how I want to structure his deal. No one will do that for free for an hour or two. People will look at you like you're crazy. So our mastermind is one of a kind. We come together from all over the world. We have lawyers from US, Canada, Singapore. We have US licensed lawyers that are actually living and traveling throughout Africa. We have people from all over and all different backgrounds. And that's what I really, really like about it. For me, it's a chance to meet people who are like-minded and also gives me a chance to really roll up my sleeves and to help have an impact. So I hope you've enjoyed, this talk about what's the connection between being a serial expat and entrepreneurship. But I really think there are some similarities with practicing law in this Web3 space. It's not risk-free. You've got to be flexible and adaptable. You got to have a bit of a sense of adventure. And you have to know how to learn. Learning is a huge part of it, and that's why we have a mastermind. If you're interested in it, please take a look at the link in the bio. You can go to the website, which is bitebow.io, and check it out. And I hope to see you guys there. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and our talks about being a serial expat, entrepreneurship, and what really are the similarities between practicing law and Web3. I look forward to talking to you guys in the next episode. Take care. Trying to get a lot of dough. Anything is possible. Turn me up an headphone.